and sized up the man standing in front of him. After a few seconds, he exhaled a large plume of smoke and gave a slight head nod toward the chair, inviting him to sit. He then made eye contact with each of the bodyguards and nodded. Both men moved to the front of the restaurant, outside of earshot. Singer took a seat. Schultz's eyes were fixed on him, as if deciding whether or not he was trustworthy.
"Drought beer," Singer said.
He pronounced it phonetically as drought. Schultz twisted his face in a confused look.
"What?" he asked. "You want a beer?"
"No," the man replied.
"Your sign out front, it says drought beer."
He again mispronounced it as drought.
"It's pronounced draft," Schultz replied. "It's the same as draft, you know, like draft beer."
"Why not just say draft?" Singer wanted to know. Schultz looked mildly irritated.
"Hell, I don't know. It's German, I think. The sign was already up when I set up shop. I didn't put it up."
"I haven't seen the word draught since I served in the war," he said, this time pronouncing it correctly. "I never actually heard the word spoken out loud before." Schultz showed no reaction.
"Teresa said you were in the World War. She said you saw major action. You were in the First Battle of the Marne, right?"
"The Second Battle of the Marne," he corrected. "In 1918, we joined the French and the British against a massive German assault. 23 German divisions moved into the Marne near Paris. I was one of 85,000 American soldiers brought in to help turn the tide."
"A lot of men died in that battle," Schultz said, nodding.
"On both sides," Singer replied. "Nearly 140,000 men died or were seriously wounded, including 12,000 Americans.
"And you received the Distinguished Service Cross and the Silver Star," Schultz said. "Teresa's very proud of you."
Singer nodded.
"I heard you faced enemy fire to save a wounded captain,"
the Dutchman continued.
"It's all in a day's work," Singer replied. "He would have done the same for me."
Schultz shook his head.
"But you lived through it. Came out stronger as a result, I suspect. I guess that explains why you don't look the least bit intimidated at being here with me."
Singer nodded. "When you've lived through the horrors of war, it's hard to be intimidated by a man in a chair, no matter who the man is." Schultz nodded and fell silent for a moment.
"Fair enough," he said. "How is she?"
"Teresa's heartbroken, as you can imagine," Singer replied.
"I know. I'm sorry."
He slid an envelope across the table. It was 3 inches thick.
"This should help."
Singer picked it up and opened it. The envelope was filled with cash. How much, he didn't know, but it looked like a tidy sum, perhaps 5,000, maybe even more.
"Thank you," he said, wondering what kind of man believed the only thing that could help a woman's broken heart was money.
"It will help, but it's not all about money, you know. She loves you." Schultz shrugged.
"I can't be around her. None of the people who are after me know about her. That's the way it needs to stay. It's for her own safety. Things are complicated right now. I got a lot of heat on me."
Singer knew this already. Between what he'd read in the papers and what his sister had told him, he knew a great deal about the man sitting before him. Dutch Schultz had the distinction of being named Public Enemy No. 1 by the Justice Department in 1933. Rumor had it that Schultz had killed or ordered the deaths of 136 people over the last 10 years. The gangster promised his sister that he would divorce his wife and be with her, but of course it was an empty promise. He also knew he was looking at a dead man. The person sitting across the table from him had made very powerful enemies on both sides of the law, and the end of the line was not far away. U.S. Attorney Thomas Dewey was hot after him for tax evasion, according to the papers. Schultz decided the only way to get Dewey off his back was to kill him. He had gone to the Mafia Commission, headed by none other than Lucky Luciano himself, and asked for permission to carry out a hit on Dewey. Luciano thought the hit was too risky and would draw too much heat to his organization. He declined to sanction the execution. But Schultz, being Schultz, ignored him and publicly threatened to kill the man anyway. Luciano was furious that his orders were being ignored. Schultz also confided to his sister that Lucky had put out a contract with mobster Lepke Buchholder to handle things, meaning to kill Schultz. That's when Dutch cut ties with Teresa, for her protection. The money Alex Singer now held was guilt money, undoubtedly.
"I heard about your complications," Singer said, understating the situation. "Thanks for leaving my sister out of it."
Dutch shrugged.
"Teresa's a good..."